Well, if you're not in John 8, if you'll turn there, we'll be looking from about verse 28 to 36 or 37 in the message today of John 8. So we're looking today, as we close this series on John 8, at the true freedom that Christ brings us. Where does freedom come from? Real freedom. There are a lot of misunderstandings about what freedom is all about. And certainly for us as Christians, we know freedom is not just being able to live however we want to live. The world thinks of freedom that way. But for us as Christians, we know it's freedom to live in the life God has saved for us to live. And to live in true obedience and true joy. But what do we learn about that here in John 8? We've seen some of that cleared up in Jesus' encounter with the woman caught in adultery and his teaching we saw last week. And we began looking at that a few weeks ago leading up to Easter with the focus on really understanding the power that he came to give us and true freedom through his cross, through his death, through the resurrection from the grave. And we see today in Jesus' encounter with these religious leaders that were so caught up in their religion and their pride, the real crux of the Christian message and why Jesus Christ went to the cross in the first place and how he rose from the grave. But then how does that impact our lives today? What does it mean that we walk in true freedom because Jesus Christ has overcome our sin and risen from death? So what do we learn about that true freedom, that true purpose and joy that Jesus Christ came to bring us? Well, number one, we see in verses 28 to 30 the importance of aligning life with the message of the cross. And you can see that on the outline if you picked up one of those there, the first point, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, "When you lift the Son of Man up, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him." And as He spoke these words, many believed in Him. So we've got to align our lives and our message and what we live and what we say with the cross consistently. That's where the freedom flows from. Now these Pharisees, they're not getting it. We saw last week that they're getting more frustrated with Jesus. But Jesus does not change his tune, does he? It's not like Jesus gives them an option on what he's going to talk about. You know, well, you're offended by the message of the cross and that I must be lifted up and that I'm going to die. And so therefore, I'm going to talk about other things that are more comfortable for you. No, he stays focused on what he came to do. He came to go to the cross. The Son of Man must be lifted up. He's talking about the cross there. He was coming to die. He was going to die. That's where everything was centered for Jesus. And no matter what controversy or conflict or rejection by others that came, he kept his focus centered on the cross. And we can't fail either to do that in times of trial. When people reject the gospel, they don't want to hear what the cross is really all about. We've got to consistently align our lives and our message with the cross. That Jesus is crucified, Jesus died, Jesus rose. And Jesus tells them, "I have much to say to you about this, but you won't get it." Others who believe won't get it until I'm lifted up, until I die. You see, not only does the cross bring the lost face to face with the reality of their greatest need, that they're sinners in need of grace. And that's why we preach it, and that's why we hold to it. But also, the cross and us preaching it and aligning our lives with it is essential to us growing in true freedom. And knowing what God has done for us, knowing that Christ has overcome our guilt and our shame, and that He's with us in our trials, that we are alive through Christ, that even though we struggle with sin, we're reminded when we look to the cross and preach it that He loves us with an enduring love that never fails. And even when we fall, He's with us. We were dead in our sins, but we're alive to God in Christ Jesus. There's a story of a man in Scotland who was confined to bed for 40 years, and he had been paralyzed since he was 15, but it said that in the story, true story, that his spirit remained unbroken, and he He had such courage that it inspired people to come to where this paralyzed man lived in Scotland and visit him. And one of the visitors asked him one day, "Doesn't this get to you? Doesn't the enemy ever tempt you to deny God and doubt him?" And he said, "Yes, all the time. I'll watch out my window, friends and family doing things I can't do, and I'll hear the enemy whisper in my ear, 'Well, if God is so good, why has he left you like this? Why does he keep you like this?'" And you know, and the visitor said, "Well, what do you do when that happens?" And he looked him right in the eye and he said, "Well, I take him to Calvary. I point the enemy to the cross. I remind him Jesus was lifted up on that cross. And I reflect and remember the deep wounds Jesus took for me to bring me ultimate healing. And I remember how much he loves me. And I say to the devil, 'You see, he does love me that much.'" And the devil has no answer for that. He flees every time. The key to our Christian discipleship and experiencing true freedom is to continually keep our focus on the cross and live our lives in light of what Jesus Christ came to do. To remember that while we lifted him up on the cross with our sins, through grace by faith as believers, our sins have been lifted off of us because of what he did in the cross and because he rose from the grave. So we stay focused on the cross. We remember Jesus died for our sins, but he rose from death victoriously, and God is with us, and he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. And Jesus says there about the Father being with him, that the Father's always with him. Well, if we're in Christ, well, then the Father is always with us too. He'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. Jesus said, verse 29, "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, and I always do those things that please him." As we focus on the cross, as we deepen in what Jesus did on the cross and walk with Christ and preach the message, we grow in it. And we know God is with us just as he was with Jesus. He's with us now through the Holy Spirit. And we grow in freedom. That leads me to point number two. Not only align our life with the message of the cross, but abide in Christ's truth about the cross. Remain in the truth. Verse 31 to 32, abide in the truth. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching," remain in my teaching, he says there, "you will be my disciples." And then he says, "And you shall know the truth." He's talking there about the truth of the gospel, the truth of the cross, "and you'll be set free." See, we know in nature that trees grow up so strong because of hidden resources in the ground, right? They have their roots deep down into the earth to get all the minerals and water and everything they need. And even though you can't see that hidden root system, it's essential to the growth of the tree. And Jesus said, "You've got to remain in my truth. Stay focused on the gospel, and you'll know the truth as you abide, and the truth will set you free." Abiding means remaining with Jesus, holding to the gospel, not turning from it, but sticking with the truth that Christ came to give us through what he did on the cross. And that's the only way that we experience what true freedom is, what he came to bring us in Jesus Christ. As one person said, "This is one of the times of the year when it is safe to put all your eggs in one basket, and that is to trust in Jesus Christ alone. Stick with him. Stay focused on the gospel. Understand what he came to do." P.T. Forsyth said, "Christ is to us just what his cross is. All that Christ was in heaven and on earth was put into what he did there on the cross." He said, "Christ, I repeat, is just what the cross is." If you won't understand Christ until you really deepen in knowing what he did on the cross. So let me ask you, how much are we learning and growing in the Gospels and the letters, for example, as to what Jesus came to do? Are we sticking with him? Are we abiding in his truth that he came to bring? The truth about who he is, the truth about sin, the truth about what he came to do on the cross, and that he rose from the grave. Are we remaining in that? We have to experience freedom over a process. We get it the first time, but we have to grow in knowing what he came to do on the cross. That's the point. We struggle with sin. We're works in progress. But our calling Jesus says, is to abide in the truth about the gospel, to remain in His Word, John 15 says, and He'll remain in us. And we know the truth, and the truth sets us more and more free. William Barclay said, through abiding in God's truth of the gospel, the chains which once bound us to our sins are broken more and more, and then we're enabled to become the person we're saved to be. It's a process. I want you to think about today, and I certainly hope this doesn't happen, of course, but just as an analogy, if you were to end up in jail, you know, and the bail was $30,000, and if I came and put the bail for you and paid it, and all the paperwork was done, well, then the documents would legally say, you're a free person, right? I paid the price. You're legally declared free, yes, but the problem is you're still in jail. Because there's a time gap between the payment, the legal document that says you're free, and you actually walking out of the prison. You see, think about it. With Abraham Lincoln, for example, when he signed the Emancipation Proclamation in the U.S. that brought freedom to slaves, well, they weren't actually set free when he signed the document. It was put into effect on January 1, 1863, and legally slaves were set free. But it wasn't until they really knew the truth about their freedom and what had happened legally as Union soldiers carried out the message out to the slaves that they actually began to walk out in their freedom. They knew the truth. It set them free. Well, it's true for us as believers. If you are a believer here today in Christ, you've been set free from sin. The more you know the truth of what He did in His perfect life, His death, His resurrection, the more you take your roots deep down into the gospel and know who Christ is, the more you're going to see that affect the way that you live your life. You're going to walk in the freedom that He's truly given you. It's a process. I mean, I remember when I first came to Christ, and I had this sense, I remember in that first few months and year of how God had set me free. Christ came and paid the cross. And I remember driving and worshiping and singing with this joy and tears flowing out of my eyes and just my heart being touched, knowing that I now knew the truth, that I had been lied to all of those years about what really mattered, that the enemy had lied to me, that I had bought those lies, that I had been deceived and caught up in living for myself and my sinful pursuit. And I had this sense of, at the same time, knowing how I had wasted so much and destroyed so many things and hurt myself and others, but at the same time knowing that because Christ loved me and paid the price on the cross, I was set free and I belonged to Him. The truth. I began to know the truth and I was set free. But that's a process still, isn't it? Growing and knowing what He came to give us. But I knew I was forgiven. I knew the shame was gone. I knew the guilt was gone. I knew the reality about sin and God and heaven and hell and eternal life by grace through faith. And we've got to have that rekindled in our hearts, don't we, as Christians? Because we get away from it, don't we? And we lose sight of what the truth of the cross really means for all of our lives and what His grace is really all about. But as we get into God's Word and abide more and more and know the truth of Christ, know the truth of sin and grace, know the truth of who we are in Him and where we're going, and we're deepened, the more we walk in freedom. Yes, all has been signed and sealed through the death of Jesus on the cross and His resurrection. We are justified by grace through faith. But we've got to grow in knowing what that means as we get into the Word, as the Holy Spirit's at work, because we all have times in our Christian lives where even though we're free, it seems like we're living in the prison. And we're not living in freedom because we've got to grow. It's only as we walk with Jesus in the truth that that jail cell and the reality of it being unlocked becomes crystal clear in our minds. And the freedom that we already have by grace through faith becomes a reality in life. And this is what Jesus is picturing here. The Son has set you free. If He sets you free, you are free indeed. But the way you experience that freedom, He says, before that, is as you abide in His truth. And you know the truth. And the truth sets you free more and more, and you continue in that truth. It's we as Christians, we get into the Word of God, and we plant our roots into it, and we understand who Jesus is, and we learn God's truth, and we grow to love God in His truth, and then we begin to live out that truth, and we begin to experience what has already been given to us in Jesus Christ. And you may feel in your life right now, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't feel like there's a lot of freedom and joy in my life. But have you stopped to ask the question, and all of us have to at times, don't we? Why? Are we in the truth? Are we growing in the truth that's about Jesus Christ and the gospel? As we continue to do that and remain in His Word and stay connected to Him, we experience the freedom that He came to bring on the cross. And there's no other way. As we learn the truth about God and sin and God's promises and the way of salvation, and we're grounded in it, then those things become certainties to us. We have greater Christian assurance in where we are with God and where we're going. And that affects the way that we then live and face choices in life, because our lives become more Christ-centered and gospel-centered. And the more we abide in His truth, the more we are open to that truth and that Word and learning more of it, and it transforms our lives and we go back to it. And it's just this incredible, positive, joyous cycle. I like the story R.A. Torrey tells of a pastor. He's a pastor and author, and he said that one time this man complained that he couldn't get anything out of his Bible study time. And this man asked Torrey, well, how do I really get something out of the Bible? And he said, I want you to take one book of the Bible, a small one. You take 2 Peter, and you study it and read it 12 times a day for a month. He said, okay, that's hard, but I'll do it. So this guy figured out a way. He said, my wife and I are reading a number of times in the morning and at lunchtime and evening. And he said, all I can think about is 2 Peter. But you know, I've been on my knees and I pray and read and reflect on 2 Peter. And as I do, the tears mingle with the ink as I'm taking notes. And I showed my wife, look how it's ruining my Bible. But his wife looked at the man and said, but the pages have been getting darker, honey, but your life has been getting lighter. It's being changed. This is the power of the truth of the gospel to transform our lives, to bring conviction and restoration. It's a lamp unto our feet, the psalm says, a light for our way. We abide in the truth, and the truth sets us free. I've said many times before that 90% of the Christian life, or 80% at least, is from the neck up. It's study. How much are we getting into the Word of God, reading about Jesus and what He came to do, and understanding what that means for us? Like somebody said one time, well, I've read the Bible 30 times. And the pastor said, well, I don't care about how many times you've been through the Bible so much. Yeah, that's true. But how many times has the Bible been through you? Are we getting into God's Word? It's only then that we grow. It's only then that we know what Christ has done. My dad in America lives in Boston, and apparently there's this red line that if you stay on the red line, will take you through a tour of the entire city of Boston, pretty much. All the key historical spots. If you stay and walk on the red line, you see Boston. You see, but if you don't, you'd be lost. This is what Jesus is saying. Stay focused on the red line. Stay focused on the truth about the gospel. Remain in my word and my teachings and you'll find freedom. And that's the only way that it's going to happen. And that's what's pictured in this process of following Jesus and finding true freedom in Him more and more. I love what Richard Phillips said. He said, much of the thrill of walking with Jesus as a disciple is to have our eyes increasingly open to see the truth. It's like some of these people that you hear about through the years. I remember reading about this lady who had worked for Walt Disney many years ago, and he had given his employees, certain ones, a letter and with something in it, and this lady never opened it up. Until later on, towards the end of her life, she realized that she was actually a millionaire because it was stocked in Walt Disney, in Disney World. And she didn't know what she had. And do we know the treasure? Do we know the riches of His glorious inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ? What He actually has come to give us in the cross? Are we having those aha moments when we're in God's Word and we see more of what it means that Christ has saved us, has paid the price? If we haven't, we need to ask why. and get back into God's Word. Look, this abiding thing doesn't mean we don't fall. It means that we're growing to know His grace, and when we do fall, we get back to Jesus and we know His love. And we keep following Him. Even when we do fall, we go back to Him. So that's the second thing. We've got to abide in truth. Number three, admit your great need for His grace that's given in the cross. If you want to know the freedom that's there, we've got to admit our great need for grace that's seen in the cross. We see in verse 33 there, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" In other words, you know what? We are connected to Abraham by heritage. Jesus, how dare you? I've been in church all my life. How dare you say that I need to know more freedom? You ever hear people say that? You know, they were actually in bondage to the Romans and their people had been to Egypt. But Jesus, of course, is talking about a spiritual bondage here. That their pride blinded them. That the truth could set them free, but they wouldn't even see that they had a problem. And so, of course, when you first come to Christ, you have to admit your total spiritual poverty. But you have to continue to rest in that grace. And know there's no other way except Jesus Christ. Someone said, crying out from behind the prison bars of their unbelief, they insisted, "We are Abraham's children. We're not slaves." It's like a practicing alcoholic who says, "Well, I'm not an alcoholic. No, I can stop anytime." And then they say, "Well, now where did I put that bottle?" This is sin. This is the way sin works. The more enslaved a person is in their own sin, whatever it is, the more they resist the idea that it's there. That's one of the worst types of slavery. I was reading about how Sparkies, you know, have to be warned sometimes, the amateurs especially, about the power in a live wire, because they think they can pick up the live wire and it'll be okay. And many of them have been hurt or killed because there's so much current in that wire. And even a small amount can paralyze your muscles to where you can't let go. And a fraction of a second can cause your heart to be paralyzed. But they think they can handle it. And they grab the live wire. They don't have respect for the lethal power of that electricity. And that's the way people are, Jesus says, with sin. If you sin, you're a slave to sin. You think you can let go, but you are entrapped to sin. You think you're okay in freedom, but you're not free. His point is, only I can set you free. And we have to even be reminded of that as Christians sometimes, don't we? We think we're okay. We think we've got everything handled and there's no problem. But the fact is, sin destroys and sin enslaves. And the only Jesus can empower us to let go. Because we think, and people think, "Well, I can handle this. I can dabble in this." And they think, "Well, I'm using this for my benefit, this sin." But no, you're not using sin. Sin's using you. If you sin, you're a slave to sin. And people boast of their freedom, but there's no freedom outside of Jesus Christ. Only He can set the heart free and transform us. It's like the old saying, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You see, the fact is, it's not that we're sinners because we sin. The fact is, we sin because we're sinners. We make a lot of eggs because we're chickens. And that's our nature. Until Jesus Christ sets us free. I was reading about this lady who was mugged by this guy who picked on people like this, but he mugged the wrong lady, because this mugger mugged this 95-year-old woman many years ago and lifted her wallet, but he mugged one of the leaders of a chief mob in New York City. And it talked about how dumb he felt. And this is the way sin is. It always leads us into something more than we ever thought that it would. And so this is what these people are saying. The religious leaders, "Oh, us slaves?" It's only as we admit our great need for grace that we find the power to walk in Christ and die to sin and know that only He can set us free from whatever those sins are. Because to sin is to expose yourself to slavery. And that leads me to number four as we close. And that's access your new power because of the cross. Access your new power because of the cross. Verse 35, And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son, that's key, the son, the daughter, abides forever. If we're in Christ, we're experiencing a growing freedom and assurance as we abide in His Word that people that don't know Him, they can't experience. The lost don't know what this is like. So we're not slaves in bondage if we're in Christ, who have no rights, who have no connection to God. No, we're sons, we're daughters. And that means we have access to Him. All that is true of Christ, because we're connected to Him. His power, His grace, His love, the fact that He rose from the grave. We die with Him, we rise with Him. We're sons of God. I love what Stephen James said. The gifts of the Master are these: freedom and life and hope, new direction, transformation, intimacy with God. He said, if the cross was the end of the story, we'd have no hope. But it isn't the end. Jesus didn't escape death. He faced it. And He overcame it. And He has the ultimate victory of salvation, assurance, and eternal life for all who dare to believe as we trust in Him. The point is, through our faith in the Son, if the Son sets us free, we are indeed free. We've been given access to all His righteousness, His power, as He changes us and leads us. We're set free to experience more and more what He came to give us. And we're going to have trials in this life and difficulties. But we know that even as we fall, there is now no condemnation for those, as Romans 8 says, who are in Jesus Christ. Like a little boy, he went to his grandparents to stay, and he was given this slingshot to play with out in the woods. He was trying to hit a target, and he could never hit the target. But he was walking home for dinner, and he saw his grandma's pet duck out there, and the impulse overtook him as he shot the thing at this duck, hit it square in the head, and he killed the poor thing. Well, in a panic, he buried the duck behind this wood pile, and he realized, though, that his sister saw the whole thing. Sally was watching, but she said nothing. But after lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." And that's when Sally said, "Well, Grandma, Johnny, the little boy, she said, he wants to help. He wants to do it, not me." And she whispered to him, "Hey, Johnny, remember the duck." And so Johnny did the dishes later that day. Then Grandpa said, "Well, do you want to go fishing?" And Grandma said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make dinner." But Sally smiled and said, "That's all right, Grandma, because Johnny said he wants to help." And she whispered in Johnny's ear, "Remember the duck." Well, after a number of days, almost all week, of him doing all their chores, he couldn't take it anymore. He came to Grandma, confessed, and just came clean. "You know, Grandma, I'm sorry." He had tears running down his eyes. "I killed the duck. I did it." And Grandma reached down and gave him a big hug, and she said, "I know. I saw it all through the window. And I've forgiven you, because I love you so much. But I'm just wondering how long you were going to let Sally make a slave of you." Grandma says, "You're in the family. You're a son. The devil wants to make a slave of you. Your sister, in that instance, wants to make a slave of you. But you're forgiven. You've been set free." This is what God says to us in Jesus Christ. We might feel at times, you know, "I've been following Christ for so long and I can't change and I can't shake this particular sin." And the enemy and the world and others will tell you you're a slave. But God shouts to you in His Word, you're His son. If the Son has set you free, you are free. Indeed. You're not a slave. You're dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Christ's blood sets us free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. And God puts His Spirit in us to continue to help us know that and walk in that freedom, that we have access to that. Yes, we'll continue to sin, but we don't have to sin or live in sin. We've been set free in Jesus Christ to walk in newness of life. And when we struggle, to come to Him and rest in Him. Yes, as Christians, we live in a fallen world, but because Christ has come into the prison to pay the price and set us free, we have a growing assurance. We have a new song in our hearts of love in Christ, and we've been set free to not live in any way we want to, but in true freedom. A shark isn't free trying to walk down the street. A lion isn't free trying to go in the ocean. We're free in Christ to become who He saved us to be, to walk in newness of life. And that freedom is in the Son. It's in knowing Jesus Christ, knowing we've been saved, knowing the life He's given us, knowing what more and more that life of obedience looks like, and knowing that He's been set us free to walk in it and to live for Christ. We've been free from fear, set free from fear. He's overcome the grave. Corinthians says, "Where, O death, is your sting?" We're free to know and serve Christ, to fulfill the purpose of our lives, to love and serve others in the kingdom, and free from the domination of sinful habits. If the Son has set us free, we are free. I'm going to close with this story. I was reading the true story of how in May 2018, in Connecticut, in this hospital, 12 surgeons worked for 5 hours to remove a tumor from the abdomen of this woman. It might seem like a lot of doctors and a long time for one tumor to come out, but this single tumor weighed about 80 kilos, around 140 pounds. The patient reported prior to the surgery the tumor had grown at a rate of 10 pounds per week, 40 pounds a month, and it was benign, but it was dangerous because of where it was and the fact that she couldn't eat and other dangers. Her doctor said her life was in jeopardy, and he remembered walking into the exam room, seeing fear in her eyes. She felt hopeless. No other doctor wanted to help her or said that they could. Can you imagine going through your life with an 140-pound tumor carrying it around? But then can you imagine what it felt like as she had the surgery and that tumor was removed? Can you imagine the day after that? Can you imagine the next week? The change that came after that burden was removed. And the doctor wrote, "Back to normal, back to work. I saw her and she was all smiles. There's hope and there's happiness." And this is a picture of our sin. We let it go, don't we? We carry the burden when Jesus Christ, the surgeon, He's the only one who can remove it. He's ultimately removed the tumor of sin. The only way that sin can be dealt with is through Christ's perfect life, living in our place, His death on the cross to take the punishment for sin, and His resurrection and victory to overcome our sin. And as we continue to rest in His grace and abide in the truth, the Son has set us free, so we are free indeed. We as Christians need to reflect on that freedom this Easter, to refocus on it, to repent of our sins, and to rest and rejoice in the freedom and grace that Christ has given. But some out there have never come to know that freedom for the first time. Maybe you think Christianity is about religion and you think it's about burdens. No, it's about burdens being set free. About Christ taking our burden. It's about Him changing our lives. And maybe you've never come to admit your need for His grace. Well, the Holy Spirit, I pray, is working to help you to know that truth about Christ that alone will set you free. The truth of the gospel. I pray He's working today and that you might, if you haven't yet, put your faith in Him alone this Easter. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we come before You today and we thank You for the salvation and mercy that we as Christians have in Christ. If the Son has set us free, we are free indeed. But Lord, we know there are many that have never come to know that freedom at all. They've never trusted in Christ alone. They might have been in church through the years. They might come on Easter and Christmas. But Lord, they've not trusted in the Savior who came and lived the perfect life and took the payment for their sin on the cross and who rose from the grave. And who calls to them today to believe, to know the truth about Jesus and to be set free. Lord God, we pray they'll do that today here and in many other churches, Lord, and they would be saved. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.